Jalen Chott looking for a quick knockdown, but wait, she's driving to the hoop. Oh, down goes the champ. Now that's another double fault. She'll be shooting too. The serve is up, and here comes the left hook. She's bundled her home and auto insurance with Progressive. Swish, ace, savings, TKO.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a three-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin. And over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and in rare cases fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
For decades, the USA was number one in the world when it came to manufacturing. Now we've fallen to 10th place. How can we get back on top? And why is it so important for our nation's future? InfoTrack's Gina Tedesco has the story. Gina?
Thanks, Chris. Joining us now is Rachel Slade, author of Making It in America, The Almost Impossible Quest to Manufacture in the USA and How It Got That Way. She earned numerous literary awards for her previous works, including one that was adapted for a Harvard Business School case study. Ms. Slade, you report the U.S. is now the 10th largest manufacturing economy in the world, and we used to be number one. Many people probably shrug and say, well, that's just how things are in a global economy. But does it have to be that way?
It does not have to be that way, and that is why I wrote this book. I wanted to explore how we could revive manufacturing, and what does that actually look like when we revive manufacturing? But most importantly, the question is, why is it so important? And that is something that I hope my readers will dig into. There are so many compelling reasons why we should be manufacturing right here in the United States.
And yet, let's talk about that. You say the U.S. is now the third largest exporter of oil behind Saudi Arabia and Russia. How would exporting a greater variety of products, and not just raw materials, help the U.S.?
Well, I mean, before we even talk about exporting, I think we need to talk about stemming the importation tide. That's part of what I'm really talking about. Why don't we start making things for ourselves? Part of the reason I really think that this is important is because then we'll have a lot more negotiating power and uncompromised power on the international stage because we will be more independent. And that is exactly what George Washington and Alexander Hamilton set about to do, getting Americans manufacturing the goods that they needed so that we could be truly independent. That's what I am advocating for.
And of course, that takes workers. So let's start with them. To quote you, no doubt the Great Resignation was fueled by anger and resentment against poorly managed companies where Americans felt exploited, underpaid, overworked, and dog-tired, unquote. Has any of that started to reverse with the revival of unions?
It's absolutely fascinating to watch. Absolutely. I am Gen X, and I'm noticing that the younger generation is very concerned about work-life balance, and they're finding answers in organizing. They are banding together, and they're asking for not necessarily more pay. They are asking for other things, like very much a four-day work week is something on everybody's mind, especially now that we've seen what that looks like in the pandemic. Having a little more time to be able to do the kinds of things that you just need to get done during the week and not on the weekend. So it's really been amazing to watch this post-pandemic push from workers in all sectors just for more work-life balance and more dignity and more respect.
We're visiting with Rachel Slade, author of Making It in America, The Almost Impossible Quest to Manufacture in the USA and How It Got That Way. You've been quoted as saying that we can solve many problems by being inventive in how we produce goods. How so?
We have always been inventive. It's kind of funny to think that MIT, I'm from Boston, so MIT was actually created by people who made things. They were the innovators of their day. They were the industrialists. And so there are so many people right now in America who are really looking at robotics and AI and how that can help with manufacturing and logistics. And a lot of that technology is actually just being exported straight to other countries who are manufacturing powerhouses at the moment. This is the technology that we need here so that we can start to innovate further. So the idea is, if you make things, then you can innovate how you make things. If you have the designers and the programmers right next to the makers, they can inform each other. What I'm looking for, what we're all looking for, what we're all hoping for, is this incredible cross-pollination of ideas people, makers, tech people, and financiers. That's what's going to help revive manufacturing in America.
Now, I'd like you to speak to the people who are afraid of AI, that is, artificial intelligence. Is AI a threat to people's jobs?
Jobs are going to change. And that's why we need to jump on this right now. That's why we really need to get people focusing on producing, creating, innovating in a very tangible way. Manufacturing, because that's where the future is. And AI is only there to help us. There are instances I can imagine where AI could be very frightening. I mean, especially if you're talking about on social media, the deep fakes. But generally speaking, AI is a tool like any other tool. And if it helps us build better, build smarter, manage better, and get things to your house, you know, in a timely fashion, then it's doing its job. That's what it was designed to do. It's designed to be a tool. Now we just need to figure out how to harness it.
So let's talk about what government can do. What about government assistance for technical training? And do we need a return to trade schools?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I mean, here's the thing. I work with a lot of young people who are really interested in working in robotics. They spend a lot of time playing video games or even inventing their own games and their own apps. I mean, there are a lot of very innovative, creative people who are native digital learners, and they just haven't made the leap yet to turning all that ingenuity and know-how toward manufacturing. So that's one group. The other group are people who maybe just don't want to sit behind a desk or don't want to go through 4 years of college or can't afford to. And so if we start talking about like all of the skills required to develop manufacturing know-how starting in high school, we're going to have a workforce ready to take on these challenges.
Now, you call for incentives in manufacturing, and you make the point that American companies don't often mentor the next generation of managers, and that poor management can lead employees to leaving. Expand on that.
I think in all sectors of the economy right now, we have this division, this class division, in many cases, where you have the manager class, they're trained strictly as managers, and then you have the worker class that's forever relegated to being in that class. And what's beautiful about a lot of manufacturing models is that they're taught from the ground up. So you come in with some skills and you learn every aspect of the trade. And if you prove to be effective within that sector, you can rise up the ladder. Traditionally, that is the model of manufacturing, is that you have people who are coming in who maybe don't have a lot of education, but they get their hands into every aspect of this incredible thing, which is producing a good, so that by the time they are managers, they really know what workers need. They're in tune to that. I think balancing that also is revitalizing unions, making sure that people who are working, who traditionally don't have power, can get together and have a voice, sit at the table, even sit on a board, have a union representative sit at a board, which is the German model, so that decisions at the top are made not just for shareholders, but also for stakeholders. And when I say stakeholders, I mean the workers. I mean the community in which the factory resides. I mean the people who are actually buying the products. Are they getting good products? These are the kinds of new ways of thinking. They're actually old ways of thinking that we are trying to revive.
Rachel Slade, author of Making It in America. Thank you so much for joining us today and detailing your book.
It was a pleasure, Gina. Thank you.
For InfoTrack, I'm Gina Tedesco.
Next, do treatment options for diabetes need to be updated? That story coming up.
Don't go away. InfoTrack will be back right after this.
At Progressive, we love sports and saving you money, so we bundled them together.
Top of the seventh looks like a pitching change as they've set up for a corner kick. The two black belts have entered the mat, and the slider is low and away. He heads the ball to midfield. This is quite a kumite. Here comes the roundhouse. Has it got enough gas to get out of here? Unbelievable! They've bundled their home and auto insurance with Progressive. Kick savings, pitch karate!
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Go ahead, feel your engine. Admire that perfectly installed exhaust. Your vehicle's moving along this freeway like it was made from fresh installs and a whole lot of love. With eBay Motors, you get over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a three-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Now, InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
Diabetes affects one out of every nine Americans. Our next guest says the way we treat the disease needs to change. He's Gary Taubes, author of Rethinking Diabetes, What Science Reveals About Diet, Insulin, and Successful Treatments. Gary, you believe the experts on diabetes are on the wrong path, and you say it all began 102 years ago. What happened then?
Okay, well, research at the University of Toronto discovered the hormone insulin. There are two types of diabetes. There's an acute form that's a deficiency of this insulin, and it's very quickly fatal without therapy, and it strikes mostly children and adolescents. And then there's a chronic form that associates with obesity and age and is a disorder called insulin resistance. But in 1921, these physicians at the University of Toronto purified insulin from pancreases, and they used it to treat a 13-year-old with type 1 diabetes who was so near death his father had to carry him to his hospital bed, and this essentially brought him back to life, revived him. Since then, a disease that is an inability to, in effect, process the carbohydrate content of the diets we eat, so it is directly related to sort of how we eat and what we eat, has been perceived as a disease that's best treated by drugs. First insulin, and then these what are called oral hypoglycemic agents, pills you could take that lower your blood sugar, and now there's a whole new generation of these wonder drugs, Ozempic and Wegovy, that work by different mechanisms. And if you're diagnosed with diabetes today, you will have a better prognosis than ever before in history. But your doctor will still tell you, if they're being honest, it's a chronic progressive disease that's only going to get worse.
Yeah, but you say it is not a progressive chronic disorder. So what is it if it's not that?
Well, there are two ways to treat this disorder. You want to control your blood sugar. That's the fundamental goal here. And you can control your blood sugar by taking these drugs, beginning with insulin in 1921. And it will not make you healthy, but it will delay and mitigate the poor health that you're experiencing. Or you can use diet to control your blood sugar. And as soon as you do that, now you're working into a world of sort of controversy about fad diets and what people will or will not eat and what's healthy and what's not.
Let's talk about that. What role in diabetes does the food industry play in all this?
Well, we're experiencing epidemic levels of diabetes. So by that I mean, for instance, in the United States in 1960, when the first surveys were really being done, maybe 2 million Americans were diagnosed with diabetes. And today that number is 30 million, and another 8 to 9 million have the disorder but don't know it yet. So 1 in 9 Americans have a disease that was, in effect, vanishingly rare 200 years ago. So that's a problem, and something's driving that. And one explanation is we just eat too much. The diabetes epidemic has gone up coincident with an obesity epidemic. And obesity and type 2 diabetes are closely associated. So one explanation is we eat too much. Another is the food industry creates all these ultra-processed foods that we can't say no to. An explanation that I explored in my book, The Case Against Sugar, in 2016, is that it's sugar particularly, and maybe sugary beverages, that sort of trigger this disease in populations. And then once you've got it, the predisposition can be passed on through the womb in this process called fetal programming. But you can blame the food industry. I am more interested in the science and the problems that arose when physicians think they can do medical science as opposed to just treating patients, which is what you have in this 100-year history since insulin was discovered.
Our guest is Gary Taubes, author of Rethinking Diabetes, What Science Reveals About Diet, Insulin, and Successful Treatments. Gary, you're not a physician. Do you expect to get resistance from the medical community from your views in this book?
Yeah, and I should. Anytime a journalist comes along, and not only I'm not a physician, and I do not live with a diabetes diagnosis myself. So nobody likes it when an outsider comes along and says, look, I've looked into what you're doing, and it looks like some terrible mistakes were made, and I'd like to talk to you about it. That's true everywhere in life. It's true for me as well. So yeah, I will get an enormous amount of resistance. Actually, the worst case scenario is that the diabetes community doesn't pay attention, that they say, you know, well, we don't really care what a journalist has to say about this. The counter argument is that, like I said, we have this epidemic. What I didn't say is it's extraordinarily expensive. One in every 4 health dollars spent in America is spent on diabetes and its complications, over $1 billion a day.
Where is all the money going? $400 billion a year on the cost of the diabetes epidemic.
Can I tell you a story?
Sure.
The one that sort of crystallized everything for me. This was a chef who became a journalist. He was diagnosed about 7, 8 years ago with type 1 diabetes. And like anyone who's diagnosed with a chronic disease or a disease, he's got no preconceptions. He's suddenly thrown into this world of diabetes, and he's being educated by his physician, who wants to give him the best possible care. And his physician says to him, look, you've got this disorder where you can no longer metabolize the carbohydrate content of the diet safely because you don't make enough insulin anymore. So we're going to give you insulin therapy. We're going to tell you to eat a set amount of carbohydrates every day at every meal and at snacks. And then we're going to give you insulin therapy to control your blood sugar, which got to cover the carbohydrates. And this fellow says to his doctor, well, wait a minute. Wait. What you're saying is because of my disease, carbohydrates are now poison to me. And I should eat the poison and take the antidote. Why don't I just not eat the poison? And he said his doctor, you know, never sort of thought of it. The doctor just wanted to make him better. This young man just wanted to be as healthy as possible. that's the sort of trade-off we're talking about. The conventional thinking that the diabetes community never tested, they just kind of grandfathered in, is eat the poison, take the antidote. We've got you covered. And if the antidote has side effects or eating the poison has side effects, we've got antidotes for those. Or just don't eat the poison.
What would you say to someone listening who perhaps has diabetes or knows someone who does have it? Obviously, you'd want them to read your book, but what would be some of the steps they might consider taking?
Talk to their physician and their diabetes educator, their endocrinologist, depending on who they're seeing, about this alternative approach. If their physician doesn't understand it, try to convince them to do the necessary reading to do it. The world is full now of these sort of low carbohydrate. When people talk about keto diets or Atkins, it's ultimately the kind of dietary approach that we're talking about. We're still living in a sort of 1960s level discussion about these disorders when significant amounts of research have been done showing the effects. So ideally, try to get your physicians to make the effort to understand this. And that would be, I hate to say this, buying my book and giving it to your doctor, because they're the ones who really need it. And once they understand it, then they can help their patients.
The book is Rethinking Diabetes, What Science Reveals About Diet, Insulin, and Successful Treatments. And the author is Gary Taubes. Gary, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.
If you only have a 401k, you're not getting the most for retirement.
Wait, what?
Add a Robinhood IRA on top, then they'll boost it by 3%.
You can do that?
And if you transfer in any retirement account, you get 3% on top of that.
Is there a limit to the match?
No limit. Robinhood Gold gets you the biggest contribution match of any IRA on the market. Sign up for Robinhood Gold at Robinhood.com/boost by April 30th. Subscription fees apply.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires gold for 1 year from first match. Must keep IRA for 5 years. Match on transfers subject to additional terms and conditions. Robinhood Financial LLC. Member SIPC.
At Progressive, we love sports and saving you money, so we bundled them together.
The final horse now in the gate, and they're off. They're starting off with a double toe loop jump, leaving a difficult 7-10 split as there's movement on the inside rail. Only 9 pins separate them now as they head to the final quarter mile. They're neck and neck. It's down to the last frame. Here comes the actual jump. They bundled their home and auto insurance with Progressive. Win, strike, savings, gold.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
Artificial intelligence is changing the way we get many things done, including financial planning, budgeting your spending, and much more. InfoTrack's Roy Mackey spoke with an expert to learn about it. Roy?
Thank you, Chris. James Royal is an analyst at Bankrate.com. James, ChatGPT and other AIs are being tried out for virtually anything and everything these days. How well does it do in the area of financial planning and management?
Well, one of the great things about AI and ChatGPT in particular is you can ask it any kind of thing about your finances, and it can help you manage that, whether that's paying down debt, building a schedule to pay down your debt, saving money, analyzing your finances and building a budget, or my personal favorite, building a wealth plan for you based on your assets and income and the amount of money that you want to accumulate. And so I think it's a great thing for allowing people to plan their finance, but it's not without some downsides.
I was just going to ask, what are the biggest weaknesses that ChatGPT or other AIs may have in terms of financial planning?
Well, one is really kind of a structural nature due to the AI. It's not always 100% reliable. It can sometimes just create sources out of thin air and create nonsensical answers. And that's why if you're receiving this advice, you really want to be careful and understand how it fits your needs and how the strategies that it's proposing really make sense and fit your overall financial circumstances. That's the first issue. Another real issue, though, is that unlike a human advisor, it's not going to be there during the tough times. And so there's a question of motivation. When times get tough, the market goes down, or you're not able to contribute and pay down your debt, something like that, the AI is not going to hold your hand and say, well, it's going to be better and you need to just move on through this situation and keep with a long-term investment plan. And that's where a human advisor is really beneficial, because that advisor is going to say, hey, look, this is the long-term plan for building wealth. Keep going and maintaining that motivation.
Let's say someone wanted to use ChatGPT for some advice on retirement planning. Are there privacy and online security concerns in regards to discussing your finances with an artificial intelligence?
Well, certainly a lot of this information becomes public domain. That's the wrong term, but just the sense of it could be publicly accessible. So if you're using account numbers and things like that, you want to be careful. But sort of generic financial information won't be a dangerous thing to use. But you really want to be careful about your private and personal information.
Can you just list maybe the top two or three things that you think the average person could really use AI for on their finances?
One of the biggest is just building a wealth plan that works for you, whether that's paying down debt, saving, and investing. So coming up with a way to accumulate wealth, build wealth, for example, through the stock market. And AI can even help you select securities. But the big thing is you want to understand how that fits into your financial plan, why those securities fit or not. And it's just an AI. And so who's going to stand behind those recommendations? But that, in large strokes, is the key thing, is building wealth. And it can help you do that. You can really ask questions in normal everyday language, normal speaking language, and come up with a solution. So I think anything around those financial issues is really accessible for somebody using AI.
I think anyone who's tried out ChatGPT or any of these other AIs has kind of come to the conclusion that one of the keys to using it is in asking the right questions and then sometimes fine-tuning them. What advice would you offer to someone who maybe wants to dip their toe in the water in terms of using it for personal finance management?
That's a great point. And sometimes you get asked the wrong question and you get a response that it's clear the AI didn't understand the question. So you really want to be careful about how you phrase that question, even if you're using that natural language. But you want to be careful that the answer is actually answering the question that you've asked. And again, what I've been warning here about the answers that you get from AI, understanding those answers that you get and why they make sense is really critical, because AI can pull sources, create sources, what experts call hallucinations, out of whole cloth. It may create nonsensical answers. And so you do really want to make sure that you're understanding those answers that it's giving you and how, for example, an investment security works for your own circumstances.
James Royal, analyst at Bankrate.com, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
That's it for another edition of InfoTrack. Thanks to this week's contributors, Roy Mackey and Gina Tedesco. Our executive producer is Randy Meyer, and I'm Chris Whitting, inviting you to join us next week for another edition of InfoTrack.
CBS News Brief. The U.S. and several allies have launched airstrikes on 13 locations in Yemen overnight. The targets included Houthi weapons storage facilities.
This comes amid rising tensions. Notably, we've seen the U.S. avoiding any sort of targets in Iran, even though all of these are Iranian-backed groups around the region.
CBS's Christian Benavides. The airstrikes follow the drone strike last weekend that killed three U.S. soldiers. A flood watch will go into effect this afternoon through Tuesday in California.
Potential for flooding on many roadways, major rises or flooding on creeks, streams, and rivers, mud and rock slides, and debris flows.
Eric Schoening with the National Weather Service. President Biden is the projected winner in the South Carolina Democratic primary. This Biden voter is in Columbia, South Carolina.
I'm so glad that we have Biden, who's there for our rights to bring us back together.
CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
I'm the PA voice you hear at hockey games here for Wis Country 105.5 WIRI to keep you fresh for your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings with some hockeyology. For example, sweater,
a hockey jersey,
apple,
an assist,
celly,
celebration following a goal,
and hoser,
a trash talk term for loser.
Support your River Kings as they build hockey up and down the river.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds and fog to start your day. Eventually, skies turning partly cloudy with highs in the mid-40s. Light northeast winds. In the overnight, mostly clear and upper 20s. heading into Monday with mostly sunny skies and our highs reaching the middle 40s in the late day. Right now, it's 22.
WIRI Nakusa. The heart of Wisconsin's home for a huge variety of country favorites. This is Country Legends 24/7.
She comes here a lot. She just loves to hear the music and dance. K-13 is her favorite song. If you play it, you might have a chance. Tonight she's only sipping white wine. She's friendly and fun-loving most of the time. But don't ask her on a straight tequila night. She'll start thinking about him, and she's ready to fight. Blames her broken heart on every man inside on a straight tequila night. Here's a glass of Chablis and some quarters and change. Maybe you can turn her love life around. She won't need the salt or the lime anymore to shoot that old memory down. Just remember her heart's on the mend. If you ever come back to see her again, don't ask her on a straight tequila night. She'll start thinking about him, then she's ready to fight. Blames her broken heart on every man inside on a straight tequila night. Don't ask her on a straight tequila night. She'll start thinking about him, then she's ready to fight. Blames her broken heart on every man on a straight tequila night. Don't ask her on a straight tequila night. She'll start thinking about him, and she's ready to fight. Blames her broken heart on every man inside on a straight tequila night. Don't ask her on a straight tequila night. She'll start thinking about him.
Hi, I'm George Jones.
105.5 FM.
I used to spend my nights out in a bar room. Liquor was the only love I'd known. But you rescued me from reaching for the bottom, and you brought me back from being too far gone. You're as smooth as Tennessee whiskey. You're as sweet as strawberry wine. You're as warm as a glass of brandy, and I stay stoned on your love all the time. I look for love in all the same old places. Found the bottom of the bottle, always dry. But when you poured out your heart didn't waste it. 'Cause there's nothing like your love to get me high. You're as smooth as Tennessee whiskey.
Country music, so little time. Country legends 24/7 from 105.5 FM.
A full moon shining bright, edge of the water, we were feeling all right. Back down a country road, the girls are always hot and the beer is ice cold. Cadillac, horns on the hood, my buddy Frankie had his dad hook him up good. Girls smile when we roll by, they hop in the back and we cruise to the riverside. Whoa. Never gonna grow up. Whoa. Never gonna slow down. Whoa. We were shining like lighters in the dark in the middle of a rock show. Whoa. We were doing it right. Whoa. We were coming alive. Whoa. Yeah, caught up in a southern summer, barefoot blue jean night. Blue eyes and auburn hair, sitting looking pretty by the fire in a lawn chair. New to town and new to me, her ruby red lips was sipping on sweet tea. Shot me a look like a shooting star, so I grabbed a beer and my old guitar. Then we sat around till the break of dawn, howling and singing our favorite song. Whoa. Never gonna grow up. Whoa. Never gonna slow down. Whoa. We were shining like lighters in the dark in the middle of a rock show. Whoa. We were doing it right. We were coming alive. Whoa. Yeah, caught up in a southern summer, barefoot blue jean night. Whoa, oh, never gonna grow up. Ha, never gonna slow down. We were shining like lighters in the dark in the middle of a rock show. Whoa. We were doing it right. Whoa. We were coming alive. Whoa. Yeah, caught up in a southern summer, barefoot blue jean night. Barefoot blue jean night. A barefoot blue jean night. A barefoot blue jean night. A barefoot blue jean night. Oh, it's a barefoot blue jean night.
Sammy Kershaw.
No, I can't play any. I'm not a musician. I can barely play rhythm on guitar, really. It's just not, it's not me. I'm not a musician. I consider myself an entertainer.
Cardboard sign says yard sale. Real estate sign says sold. Family picnic table holds all that it can hold. On the grass and on the sidewalk, well, there must be half the town. Ain't it funny how a broken home can bring
the price is down. Oh, they're sorting through what's left of you and me. Paying yard sale prices for each golden memory. Oh, I never thought I'd ever live to see the way they're sorting through what's left of you and me. You left two sundresses in the backyard on the line. Lady just brought them to me. She said she thinks they'll fit just fine. Well, there goes the baby's wagon and the mirror from the hall. I'd better take just one last look before they take it all. Sorting through what's left of you and me. Paying yard sale prices for each golden memory. Oh, I never thought I'd of you and me. Well, I wonder what you'd say if you could see the way they're sorting through what's left of you and me.
Hi there, I'm Ronnie McDowell, and here is my friend Conway Twitty, my mentor, my icon, and my second dad on Country Legends 24/7.
105.5 FM.
Hey, Louisiana woman,
Mississippi man,
we get together every time we can. Mississippi River can't keep us apart. There's too much love in this Mississippi heart.
Too much love in this Louisiana heart.
See the alligator all awaiting nearby. Sooner or later they know I'm gonna try. When she waved from the bank, don't you know I know it's a goodbye fishing line. See you a while ago. With the Louisiana woman waiting on the other side, the Mississippi River don't look so wide. Louisiana woman,
Mississippi man,
we get together every time we can. The Mississippi River can't keep us apart. There's too much love in this Mississippi heart.
Too much love in Louisiana heart. Well, I thought I'd been left, but I never had, till I was wrapped in the arms of a Mississippi man. When he holds me close, it feels almost like another hurricane just to rip the coast. If you can't come to me, I'm gonna go to him. That Mississippi River, Lord, I'm gonna swim.
Hey, Louisiana woman,
Mississippi man,
we get together every time we can. The Mississippi River can't keep us apart. There's too much love in this Mississippi heart.
Too much love in this Louisiana heart.
Well, the Mississippi River, Lord, it's 1 mile wide, and I'm gonna get me to the other side.
Mississippi man, I'm losing my mind. Gotta have your lovin' one more time.
I'm gonna jump in the river and here I go. Too bad, alligator, you swim too slow. Hey, Louisiana woman,
Mississippi man,
we'll get together every time we can. The Mississippi River can't keep us apart. There's too much love in this Mississippi heart.
Too much love in this Louisiana heart.
Oh, there's too much love in this Mississippi heart.
Too much love in this Louisiana heart.
Hey. much love in this Mississippi heart.
Too much love in a Louisiana heart.
More country legends 24/7 on the way.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds and fog to start your day. Eventually, skies turning partly cloudy with highs in the mid-40s. Light northeast winds. In the overnight, mostly clear and upper 20s. Heading into Monday with mostly sunny skies and our highs reaching the middle 40s in the late day. Right now, it's 22.
Lately you've been showing all the signs of a woman with someone else on her mind. It's not your fault, some nights I've left you alone. And if you're thinking you want a stranger, there's one coming home. If you're thinking you want a stranger, I'll soon be there. You're gonna see a change in me. This time I swear. Silk gown and perfume today. Picked up some roses and champagne on the way. Oh, I called to ask you to put some soft music on. 'Cause if you're thinking you want a stranger, there's one coming home. If you're thinking you want a stranger, I'll soon be there. You're gonna see a change in me. This time I swear.
Side Country Legends 24/7 from 105.5 FM.
I thought some time in the sun would help me get over you, but I could tell from day one this is a place meant for two. Now here I sit on the beach, watching the tide ebb and flow. I booked my room for a week, but now I'm ready to go. I'm in a tropical depression. I got the blue water blues. Can't shake loving you obsession. Can't stand the sand in my shoes. Is this for getting you vacation? It's just a fool's holiday. If I can't get over you, this tropical depression's gonna blow me away.
This should be paradise, heaven down by the sea. Without you here by my side, it feels like hell to me. I'm in a tropical depression, I got the blue water blues. Can't shake this loving you obsession, can't stand this sand in my shoes. This forgetting you vacation is just a fool's holiday. I can't get over you. This tropical depression's gonna blow me away. I can't get over you. This tropical depression is gonna blow me away.
Heads up, everybody. This is Tracy Byrd.
Don't be afraid, darling. You can tell me what it takes to make your world turn. If you're willing this time, and if you're so inclined, just give me a sign. I wanna take love lessons, baby, from you. Whatever it is you want, I want to please you. I wanna take love lessons, baby. Take my hand, let's talk about us. Whisper soft what it is you're thinking of. I wanna hold you tight, won't you show let's turn down the light. I wanna take love lessons, baby, from you. Whatever it is you want, I want to please you. I wanna take slow.
Millsap on attending a school for the blind in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Well, you know, I was going through all this classical music in school in Raleigh, and no outlet to play the kind of music that we wanted to play. I remember the day the music died, which was February the 3rd, 1959. I was in a practice hall practicing, supposed to be playing my classical music, and some friends of mine, we were in there playing Buddy Holly songs and Big Bopper songs and Jerry Lee Lewis songs. And the music teacher came in and said, "Hold it. You're out of the music department. We're going to dismiss you. You're expelled from the music department," which was pretty powerful. They did that for the rest of the year, and then we were allowed to come back early the next year when we came back to school. 105.5 FM.
These few dreams of mine seemed hidden behind a mountain too high to climb. But you were the one who said, "Go on, follow your star." When the song in my heart was just a voice in the dark, you could hear my melody. There's only one moon that shines in the night, and only one love in my life. Only one love in my life. Only one love in my life. I'm a ship. Song today, and I heard someone say, "Man, he sure got it made. If only they knew how much you have made of me." Together we came from nowhere to fame. There's only one moon that shines in the night, and only one love in my life. Only one love in my life. Only one love in my life. I'm a ship. And you're the only love in my life.
CBS News Brief. The U.S. and U.K. have launched airstrikes against 13 sites in Yemen overnight meant to deter Iran-backed Houthi rebels.
This has been going on since January 11th, and the Houthis are still launching missiles into the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden.
CBS's David Martin. Historic flooding in California is possible as a major storm system heads that way. The National Weather Service's Bob Orovic is tracking.
Some of the heaviest rains will be along the central California coast and also down across Southern California. But there'll be heavy rains all the way north into Northern California and a lot of heavy snows in the Sierra. So it's a pretty high impact storm coming up.
Good news for Joe Biden in South Carolina's Democratic primary.
South Carolina has once again given Joe Biden its support in this primary election.
Jamie Harrison is the